Affairs will come to order. It's April 11th at 3:05. Committee members present, Vice Chair, Representative Navarre, Representative Jenkins, Representative Cato, and Chair, Representative Hurley. We have before us for teleconference two bills, House Bill 606 and House Bill 607, relating to art in public places. We have the prime sponsor, Representative Hanley, here to make an opening statement. Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to begin just by perhaps explaining my reason for introducing these bills. The first was an awareness on my part that rather than increasing enthusiasm and appreciation for art, that many of the Percent for Art projects were provoking anger. There was also a knowledge that many of the 1% art projects were accomplished by artists outside the state of Alaska. A recognition that public input was extremely limited in the process and this whole selection process for these art projects. And also the realization that identification of these 1% for art projects in many instances has been impossible unless there was some publicity or controversy at the time the project was installed. And this pertains to pieces that have achieved wide acceptance, as well as pieces that have been very controversial. Examples of that, there's a mural in Fairbanks that I think in the airport that is probably accepted and people have considered to be a lovely piece without recognizing that this is a 1% for art project. This is the reason for the plaque and the bills. And then in Anchorage is another project that is quite controversial, which is a black metal shoeshine stand, and that too is not recognized, and people do not realize that that is one of the projects that was selected. So the reason for introducing these bills are those, and I think we address each one of those concerns in House Bill 606 and 607. If you would like, Madam Chairman, I could briefly go through the sectional analysis, or you might want to take testimony at this time, and I could go on with that at a later time.
I think since we have so many people out on the teleconference and here to testify, and we only have an hour and a half, that we can discuss the bill later, you know, if you will stay, and if we have the time,
yes,
and
stay.
If there's any comments later.
Good.
Thank you, Representative Hanley. I noticed that there are two people who have a time constraint in Petersburg, so I'll go there first. Holly Lee?
Yes, Chairman. I guess you'd like me to go ahead. I've just rushed here from school, and although I've read these bills and have thought them through thoroughly, I need to... my own copy, which I had annotated, is underneath a bunch of pots I'm carrying home. So I have a fresh copy here, and I would like to say the positive things first. There is in, now which bill is it? One of them provides for the identification of the artist and a plaque put by the piece, which of course makes good sense, and that's I think something that's been overlooked and neglected. I think perhaps identifying responsibility for that job is maybe the reason why, but I'm not sure at the present time an artist needs to carefully be sure that their own, they have identified the work with their own name in some corner of the piece where a viewer can see it if they wish to study it far enough. However, some works of art don't lend themselves to that sort of thing, and having the identifying a little plaque is a very important thing to have. I'm glad to see some definite action on that. The way it appears now, I haven't heard the opposite side of that so far. Let's see now. Representative Hurley, I would appreciate, rather Chairman Hurley, I would appreciate it if we could go on. And I could perhaps come in on another part. I'm not in that big a hurry, and I would like to hear what others have to say. And in that, this time I'll identify a little bit more of the things that I wish to speak on. Would that be all right?
That's fine. That was the message that I had, that there was a time constraint. And is it Ruth Sandvik that has the time constraint then? But they were You were bracketed together. The record should show that Representative Boucher and Representative Miller are also here, so we have the whole committee present.
Greetings, this is Ruth Stanvik. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. I learned some things today that I hadn't known before, that it's 1% for state buildings now, and it's 0.5% for so-called rural districts, and that we were considered rural. But Polly says it's 0.5% for schools. So I was concerned that if this bill went through decreasing the percent, what would it happen to the 0.5% for school? And my other comment was that I learned that it's only 1% of the grants that come from the Alaska legislature. And therefore, with the cutting that is, we look forward to less grants, why I figured the money for art would decrease itself just by the fact that there weren't any grants. And those were my two comments, and I appreciate having this chance to talk. In the last teleconference that we had, it was pointed out that as the bill stands, it's full of loopholes. So I just didn't want any more loopholes to appear, any more than we have. Thank you, Kate, Chairman Hurley.
Thank you, Ruth.
Do you want me to respond, Katie, or would you want to go on?
I want to call it to everybody, and you can... Well, I was going to respond that regarding the construction, okay. It's all buildings that are all projects are approved by the legislature because the legislature appropriates the funds for state buildings, and that would be all state buildings would come under that. Isn't that correct?
Except the old schools, which
what?
Are currently in chapter 7.
Yes, but I meant the. She said she was concerned about the fact that there would not be as much construction. I mean, art, but okay. I think the important thing is to let the public have a chance to be heard, and then we can. I noticed there's several people in Fairbanks. Could we go to Fairbanks?
Yes, my name is Stan Zielinski, and I'm in Fairbanks. I think the fastest way to get things rolling, because there are so many people, would be to read a letter which was sent to Representative Hanley on February 28th. And I'm also speaking on behalf of the Art Department at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. Our department head, Ron Sonungatuk, had a previous commitment and was not able to be here. So this is a letter that was sent to Representative Hanley and signed by 15 individuals. All of these individuals are involved with teaching at in art departments throughout the state. And I'll read it quickly and then make a few general comments. Dear Ms. Hanley, the University of Alaska Art Faculty statewide held its annual meeting in Fairbanks today, and among the agenda items discussed were your proposed House Bills 606 and 607. We collectively and unanimously are against these bills and wish to place on record in the strongest possible terms our displeasure concerning the proposed legislation. Even a cursory understanding of the present 1% law and policies used in administering it now in effect shows that this law clearly has all the mechanisms and procedures in place for user and general public input already. All meetings are well advertised. I would add parenthetically, they could be better advertised, and are wide open to any and all throughout the state. The opportunity for involvement is and always has been totally democratic. Also, to restrict artists' involvement strictly to Alaskans, we feel is particularly dangerous and distasteful concept and sets a precedent that is embarrassing to try to defend. We have far too many competent artists who are quite capable of competing in the national and international art arena who don't want, let alone need, the kind of imposed legislation and protectionism, provincialism being proposed. By implication, at least, Alaskan artists would then therefore not be eligible to compete for art commissions in other states. The present 1% law that the present 1% states that at least 1% will go towards art. We look forward to the day when the powers that be will recognize that perhaps more than 1% in many instances is aesthetically desirable and called for, and actually exceed that amount without the benefit of legislation. To reduce the program to 0.5% is another indication that the best interests of Alaskan artists is definitely not the issue being considered in these bills. Artists, in the truest sense, do not need to have their hands held by reducing the competition to Alaskans only. Since this letter's been written, I've had a few reactions to our own letter, and one is that in talking with people, it seems that statewide, there just isn't enough input as far as individuals are concerned, but it has absolutely nothing to do except the lack of perhaps better advertisement. But we feel that the 1% is fine the way it is. Now, possibly for the warehouses and structures that are back in the boondocks and not too much, there could be a compromise where perhaps less than 0.5%. But by the same token, why wouldn't 1.5% be more appropriate in places that are perhaps more appropriate? But perhaps the most distasteful thing in these bills is the fact that this would be restricted to Alaskans only. That is a very, very dangerous and I think a foolish concept to even consider. I'll let it go at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Zielinski. I'll take one more person in Fairbanks and then I'll go on to Homer. And then we'll come back to Fairbanks after we've gone around the network.
Okay, I'm going to make this real brief. My name is Dave Nichols. I'm with the Fairbanks Arts Association. I'd like to speak against both these bills. On the whole, the 1% for Art program has been very successful. It's provided Alaskan artists with the opportunity to produce work, large pieces of work, and in many cases has assisted these artists in surviving, and they've been able to earn their livings through doing these commissions. In regard to limiting this program to just Alaskan artists, I think that would be a very detrimental thing to do. As I said earlier, the program, I think, is in relatively good shape, and with all programs, they occasionally need fine-tuning. And I think that's where we're at. I remember Bob Willis saying you don't take a sledgehammer to a screwdriver problem. And I think that just some fine-tuning is needed. And I think these two bills are really overreacting to that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols. And we'll come back to the rest of you in Fairbanks. I'd like to go to Haynes, Carl Heinmiller.
Thank you. My name is Carl Heinmiller. I'm speaking on behalf of especially House Bill 607. However, I do not really support 606 dropping it from 1% to 0.5%. This is not only against the economic benefits of the artists in Alaska, should we support House Bill 607, but I've lived in Haines for approximately 38 years and have been a practicing artist for over 50. And I am, frankly, a traditional artist. I was on the State Arts Council under all state governors for a period of over a dozen years. When the 1% for art in public places came into being, I was in conflict with the procedure set up by the council, and mainly the staff who pretty well dominated just who and what kind of art would be commissioned. The selection of Robert Burry to construct what was, I guess that's the right word, I believe Nimbus, was a complete travesty. The National Endowment people said we will give you $20,000 if you will match it. The Art Council came up with $10,000. The court system was convinced to put in $10,000. The model for Nimbus was made out of cardboard and showed to a civic organization in Juneau, and many of the people attending there thought it was just a put-on, that such a piece could not possibly be a real thing. I was very vocal in protesting the selection and the method of choosing an artist on this piece. The Art Council people, the staff stated that there wasn't an Alaskan artist who could produce a large piece of artwork, quickly saying, of course, that totem poles are not acceptable, knowing that my organization Alaskan Indian Arts, could do large pieces. Even though the Art Council knew that our Board of Trustees was made up of national and international artists who could guide and advise our local artists into a major piece. John Stenson is up in California for one. He's done several large pieces for Alyeska, the Providence Hospital, in Anchorage, and has supervised our native artists doing 16 large doors for the IBA building in Anchorage. Also, the doors for the governor's office, which I'm sure most of you see now and then, and a 10-foot seal of the state of Alaska Supreme Court is our work too. As for sizable artwork, if you consider totem poles in art, knowing to be the finest primitive art in the world, we have produced poles of all sizes from 15 feet up to 129 feet. We have 30-foot poles or more in Seattle, Japan, Red China, and Columbia, South America, and more so in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Chicago. Last year, as a test, we carved a 7-by-7-foot deep carved red cedar panel and retained one of California's fine sculptors, Tony Sheets, to come up here and teach us how to make a mold from which we could make castings. We did cast several cold cast bronzes from that pattern, showing that Alaskans with certain guidance can do outstanding pieces of art of major size. Tony Sheets, by the way, is son of Miller Sheets, one of the world's finest watercolors, both trained under outstanding sculptors such as Paul Manship, Paul Stewart, and others, Albert Stewart. In the Newsweek, of the September 16th issue of 1985, George F. Will's editorial entitled Giving Art a Bad Name, and quoted some of the, and to quote some of the pieces, states that in Missouri, one solid block of rusted steel made into a triangle by a wavering hand, and he attacks that. Quotes this artist says, I don't think it is a function of art to be pleasing. And George Will then says, he thinks it is a function of the public to give people, him, the sculptor, money and limited license for this bunch of rusted iron to be in view of the St. Louis, the Gateway Arch. In Chicago, there's a sculpturer over 80 feet high of a baseball bat. While in Cleveland last October, a sculpture about 50 feet high of a rubber stamp act was called art. Like the legislature in Alaska is brave enough, responsible enough to get rid of Nimbus, there's a move in Manhattan to move another piece of junk art, rusted steel, 73 tons, entitled Tilted Arc. This is 12 feet high and 120 feet long. Joan Mondale says the public should give title art time to improve its eternity. So the public should be, and how long that's going to be, the question. Look how long it took us to get rid of Nimbus and other so-called public art now appearing in the Alaska scene. I wonder why Nimbus was lost in shipping when it was coming up here conveniently long enough to have the legislature and Senator Bill Ray especially view not to be disturbed from his window during the legislature. The artist knew so little about Alaska that he required the courts to put up another $3,000 or $4,000 to embed that 37 tons in concrete so it wouldn't blow away. One of the additions to this bill would be great, and that is that a separate and local commission be established, at least a local commission of public art, not involved with the State Arts Council, the staff, which pretty well dominates. Now, there are some artists in Alaska that have gotten commissioned for public art, presented some very fine works. However, they are also repeaters, and many good artists have prostituted themselves to fit into mainly what they think the Art Council would choose. I realize with a tight budget that the committee on the sponsoring of these bills could not visit Haines. So to seek proof of what I contend, there are many very fine, good artists in this area, but without fair treatment, the selective few will always get the major commission. One so-called authority of Alaskan art some years ago quoted Fred Nakatan as calling him a poster painter. And he also quoted that artists are the highly motivated few. And we, of course, disagree with that. Otherwise, young people will never get to the point that they could get commissioned. My last year was during the Art Council. I was sent to Canada for a seminar entitled Art and Tourism as a Partnership. I made a report on that meeting, which meant little, although a lot of lip service was given by the council. If there is any merit in art and tourism as a partnership, who among many thousand tourists wants to see another Nimbus or some ultra-modern thing that we now are seeing? Alaskan art, native art, or high-quality traditional art should be the foremost public art. I hope these bills will help, and I hope the present Arts Council staff will be able to promote their views. I should say, I know that the present Arts Council staff will be able to promote their views by making grants to other types of arts organizations that are not, who will not support these bills, but because of the fact that they do not do art in public places. So we hope the committee will sift through testimony and judge according to visual arts that's connected to art in public places. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heimlich. We have about 15, 16, 17 people, so I'm going to have to ask if we could please keep your comments to about 3 minutes so we can have everyone have an opportunity to be heard. Because you're in Juneau, I don't feel that you should be have to wait till the end, so I would like to take a Juneau witness right now. And I notice Bill C. Ray is on the list.
Here. Do I have to do anything to this?
Just push the button back.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bill C. Ray. I'm a working artist and lifelong Alaskan resident. Having studied House Bill 606 and substitute for House Bill 607, there are 3 points on which I'd like to comment. The first is that only Alaskan residents, resident artists, will be selected for 1% projects. Speaking from personal experience, several years ago, I would have agreed with this provision, and mostly for selfish reasons, since it would have increased my chances to do artwork. But in recent years, I've come to realize that we in Alaska are already so isolated geographically that legislated cultural isolation would be disastrous. We need to see the work of other artists. Alaskan artists need to stack themselves up against what the rest of the world can do. And furthermore, I'm proud to have my 1% pieces included in a statewide collection with nationally and internationally reputed artists and their work. I believe that this enhances the value of my work and the value of the state's collection for all people of Alaska. From a practical point of view, for the citizens of the state, we have a remarkably small population of professional artists to choose from, and there's really no need to limit the scope of artists that Alaskans can benefit from. I also believe that the current system allows selection committee members to exercise a preference toward Alaskan artists or Alaskan subjects if they choose to, without being limited by law to only choosing Alaskans. My second concern is that lay members of the selection committees will be chosen by lottery. And speaking just as a citizen, as the state's revenues dwindle, I don't believe that any of that money should be spent by people whose names have been pulled out of a hat. We certainly don't draw straws when it comes to building a new boat harbor or building a new bridge. And the present law ensures that qualified personnel will be on selection committees rather than leaving it to chance. We may have qualified personnel, but then again, we may not. Third, I would like to address the proposal to reduce funding to 0.5% for art in public places. I concur along with everybody else in the state that overall state spending must be reduced significantly, but I believe that cutting this particular corner will yield absolutely no gain. To put things in perspective, all of the money spent on all 1% projects in the last 10 years is equivalent in cost to less than 1.5 miles of new road construction. This means that if you cut the 1% funding in half, it will enable the state to build about 300 feet of new road next year instead. So that's the kind of savings you're making. And if you also consider the normal percentage of cost overrun on the public buildings themselves, on the construction, a 0.5% reduction is really a pointless exercise in savings. Finally, I'd like to suggest that when the economy slumps and times get tough, is the time to spend more money on the arts. For a relatively small price, all Alaskans can benefit from uplifting cultural experiences. If you're going to spend money according to need, Alaskans have never needed the arts more than they do now. So if anything, I'd recommend raising the figure to 1.5% or 2%. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ray.
Chair, can I just make one comment?
Go ahead.
These members are not aware of it. Mr. Ray's work is on the marine, on the wall of the Marine Building now. It's an outstanding humpback whale mural, and it's a fabulous display. And it's it's really, I think, personifies what the Presenting Art program is really all about.
He also has one in the airport, the new Juneau Airport. For the benefit of the committee, he's also the son of Senator Ray.
Been looking like it.
Looks like his mother. Did you have a comment, Representative Hanley? I really was hoping that we would keep our comments.
No, I know you'd like to take the testimony, and we have other people here.
I'd like to go to Homer, Mike Need, or Patty Yancey, or Tom Reed.
Hello, my name's Tom Reed. I'd like to speak in support of House Bill 606, mostly because I am in favor of limiting the percent for art, or half percent as it may be, projects to resident artists only, because I feel that the art worth experiencing here is art that comes from a local feeling, which is generated by our history and natural and cultural environment in the places we live, and also special occurrences, for example, alpine glow on certain peaks that we know about that only happens at certain times or specific times of the month, which are over certain valleys, or the Northern Lights, for example, which are infrequent sometimes, that a non-resident artist would have no feeling for. He wouldn't have experienced these things. A non-resident artist has their ideas coming from a different stimulus, a different environment, and it's something that's not easily appreciated. And when you talk about the problems with controversy in the arts, I think that those controversies quite often come from an inability to relate to the artist concept. So I think that if a local artist was the one producing the work, that the population would have an easier time relating to it and appreciating it. Also, the reduction to the 1%. But I would like to see all state buildings display even a 0.5% for art projects. We have some state buildings here in Homer, and I've never seen a percent for art project here in Homer. And I think that it is more important to see several works of art than to see one that costs twice as much as the others that you wouldn't see. I guess I would just like to see maybe 5 or 6 pieces around here in the state buildings and schools instead of the zero that I see now. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Reed, those buildings must have been built before this law was enacted, because all public buildings now have the 1% art, if they're appropriated by the legislature.
Can I add something?
Go right ahead.
We have a brand new high school here that the locals call the Taj Mahal, that has zero artwork in it.
Well, it's probably then must have been appropriated by the borough and not by the state. But we can check on that. I'd like to go to Ketchikan.
This is Laura Mancuso, and I'm the director of the Ketchikan Arts Council here in town. After speaking to several artists who regularly participate in 1% for Art programs, they've asked me to come down here and voice their opinion. And the overwhelming response is that they ask that the legislature do not limit the 1% for Art program to Alaskan residents only. They encourage and support other artists to participate in this program. We would also ask that you do not cut the Percent for Art program to 0.5%. As other speakers have noted, it is such a small amount to spend on art as it is, art that so many people enjoy and live with, that it just, to us, does not make sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for not taking much time. Appreciate that. We'd like to go to Kodiak.
This is John Bealey from Kodiak. I have recently finished serving on an art selection committee for our auditorium, which has just culminated in 11 pieces of art that is fairly well accepted by the community. The committee that I served on was established finally by the school board and initiated by the borough assembly with specific requirements for types of art areas, historical aspects, performing aspects in the art. The committee then made the selection and the work, the auditorium opened up in March and work is now in place. It was a fairly long process, but very satisfying process to the members, and the results of that selection seem to be well received. We, as a Visual Arts League member, the chairman or co-chairman of the Visual Arts League here, we have discussed this bill along with the Arts Council in the community, and we would like to request continued support for the 1% for art. I feel that that is important. It's already been testified. And we would like to encourage selection of art by a selection committee. In the case of schools, not just by the superintendent, but a selection committee. It is a good composite of the community, the arts community, the local community, and also the facility that it's located in. We wish you not to limit the arts to Alaskan artists only, but leave it open to all artists, just for the variety of art that other areas outside of the state provide and the inspiration that is available through that art. We also encourage the inclusion of a plaque with the art. I feel that is important to identify who the art is done by. That concludes my comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I noticed that we do have someone now in Anchorage, so we'd like to go to Anchorage.
She's now ready.
This is Catherine Doss, and I'm an artist, and I have done 1%, and I think that it's really important that the bill does not limit 1% to Alaskan artists, because good art will go beyond environment or place, and if there is an Alaskan artist who can do a good piece, that, you know, that I think that committees will be open to that. Also, I think, as to what's been said before, in the amount of 1%, that funding can be cut in other places. And I know the state is looking at places to cut, but I don't think that art is the place to cut it. And I think the whole idea of the importance of works of art in public places has to be reevaluated, because art is important to everyone's perceptions and thinking. It fills an important part in everyone's lives. As to the committee, I think that it is important to have some sort of arts person on these committees, people who are involved in the arts and looking at art, who can suggest ways of looking at art that maybe everyone doesn't like. And I think that they, as it is right now, the arts administration is only a small part of the whole jurying process. And So I think that's good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to make a statement. As I read the law, there isn't a cost or a saving because this is to come out of the construction cost. It says at least 1%, or in the case of a rural school, at least 0.5% of the construction cost of a building or facility approved for construction by the legislature after September 1, 1977 will be reserved for the purpose. So there is not, am I mistaken in that?
No, it's a saving.
The saving is only that amount of money would go into the cost of the building? Or is that, do you think that becomes an additional cost in the bid? How would you say?
It's an additional cost.
Oh, no.
There's somebody from DOT here who might be able to answer that question.
Well, maybe with, could you answer that, please, so from DOT?
I was being kind of nervous. My name is Rod Wilson. I'm with DOT. And the position that the department envisioned out of this bill is the fact that if indeed the percent for art is cut back to 0.5%, what that additional 0.5% would be used for then would be reincorporated back into the construction fund of the building and be used for other amenities within the building. It not necessarily would go back into the general fund.
Thank you, sir. I need to go, where we have not been. Back to Fairbanks, where there's several people. Could we have someone else from Fairbanks?
Thank you. My name is Mike Levy, and I'm a student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'd like to read to you a position statement that was passed by the Student Government Association, ASUA. And it is as follows. Whereas a great deal of concern has been expressed among students regarding the lack of public input in the selection of major art installations on campus, and whereas expenditures of over $100,000 are made with comparatively little public involvement, and whereas Representative Hanley's bill would provide for extensive public input and review of proposed art purchases, and Representative Hanley's bill would give preference to Alaskan artists in the selection process, therefore be it resolved that the Student Association of the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus strongly supports HB 606 and 607 as legislation long past due and applauds Representative Hanley and other co-sponsors in their attempt to provide increased public involvement. This is signed Carl Thomas III, Student Association President, March 4th, 1986. And thank you. That concludes my statement.
Thank you, Mr. Levy. We do have someone in Kodiak who has a time constraint, so we'll go to Kodiak and then come back to Fairbanks.
Katie, this is Dr. Bob Johnson. For the purposes of identifying myself, I am a pioneer, a physician, and president of the Arts Council, which comprises about 430-odd members. I haven't heard one of those members. They aren't odd members, so I'll have to correct that. 430 reasonable people. I don't know one of them who didn't rejoice when the 1% for art was instituted in 1977, and as John Bealey has already told you, we have some of the results of that in the new foyer of the new auditorium that is really being celebrated by everybody who goes in to see something there. They're standing around looking, and they're looking at many of our local artists. They're also looking at a couple of outside artists because of the 11 people chosen. We chose whom we thought were the best, and some of those were outside the state. This brings me to the point of saying that we don't feel that the choice of artists should be limited to any given place. We think we should have the broadest opportunities to select the best. The second point I want to make as a physician is that I like to see a healthy community. To me, a healthy community is a beautiful community. And I've lived here long enough to know that when I first came, it was indeed a beautiful community. And I've lived here long enough to see the growth of the boom economy, when people were more interested in how much they could make and take elsewhere with them than they were in what they did or how they did it when they were here. We've just passed in Kodiak our boom economy, and we've settled out and matured a little bit. And I think Alaska, or at least I thought Alaska, was in the same state, especially when they had the brilliance to pass the 1% for art in public buildings. Really, in a way, this is putting some of the beauty back in the environment that we have taken away by our willy-nilly cracker box construction. If this law, or if these laws, are proposed as a result of the bizarre art that has been chosen in a couple of places in the state, I think you have no need to worry. Most of the committees won't be choosing bizarre art, and I think what John says is that the people who build the buildings, the people who live in the community, and the people who have artistic ability should be involved in making the choice. To reduce the 1%, which is a piddling amount anyway, to 0.5% at this point seems to me like political ploy. You know, it seems to me that these youngsters who had the brilliance to do this shouldn't come back in and muddy the waters now. Let's leave it in place. Let's appreciate it. Let's rejoice in it. And let's make it work.
I'd like to ask Dr. Johnson, I have a question. This is Alice Hanley, the sponsor. I'm curious, is Kodiak a rural school district?
I don't think we're considered rural, no.
Were you then allocating 0.5% or 1% for those 11 pieces of art that you chose in your new structure?
1%, and we advocate 1% across the board.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Back to Fairbanks for another person.
My name is Alexander Kotloff. I'm a student at University of Alaska, and I'd just like to add one thing to John. We kind of, the students, from what I've heard around the campus, is that they're kind of upset about some of the last art piece that was put into the university, and they would like a lot more input into that, and that's all I'd really like to add. There's, from a lot of the people that I've heard around the campus, they just, I think if they had more input, they wouldn't complain about it. My personal opinion.
Thank you very much. Go back to Anchorage, where more people have gathered. I'd like to have another person from Anchorage.
He's approaching the microphone.
Oh, hello. My name is Duncan Kirst. I'm an architect in Anchorage. And I would like to say that I approve of the percent for public art. I have always felt that the 0.5% for rural areas was really a lack of representation or due process or what have you, equality for the rural school districts. I think they deserve and should have a full 1%. I feel the program has been well run. I feel that the state generally gives more than its money's worth. I feel that if the program were cut and that 0.5% went back into a, quote, construction budget. Having been involved in many construction budgets in the state over the years, I feel that it would be swallowed up by a lot of paper pushing, and that the 1% for art is a very visible, very profitable, very wise investment for the state of Alaska. I'd also like to say that as to keep it a good investment, I think that we need the advice of knowledgeable people in the selection of the art. Too often, there is not enough qualified input into the selection. And really what we're talking about here is an investment of money. We could be buying stocks and bonds, we could be buying anything, but this happens to be art, and we should be buying the best art possible. And so I think we should pay more attention to our, quote, investment advisors, our qualified people who have an art history background, who really know where to spend the money. And I think our money would go further. And in the end, I think the public would appreciate it more, too. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kurtz. Another person from Anchorage.
Hello, my name is Tom Livingston. I too am an architect. I've had an opportunity on numerous occasions to participate in the public percent for art process. I would like to go on record as supporting the 1% value and keeping it at that level. having spent close to 30 years in Alaska, I frequently find people having the attitude that maybe we treat our public buildings as though we're renters and not owners. Sometimes I think our attitude, although I think any Alaskan would deny it, deny that they believe this, but the attitude is that we're not placing all of the value into those buildings that we could. We're not treating them as though it's a home that we own, but merely a place we're renting on our way to somewhere else. I think it's important to place the full value into those. I think as an architect, I've been very fortunate in being able to be part of a process that brings art into the daily lives of the public. It's not a matter of constructing museums or theaters where art is placed or performed. It's a matter of building public buildings in which art. state's budget every year that is, certainly that is spent out of the operating budget for supporting artists through the Arts Council. This also gives a, Percent for Art gives an opportunity for some of the capital budget to be spent for art, to be spent to integrate that art into our daily lives, which is, it's not a luxury, it's not an extra, it's a necessity. Many cultures, native cultures, aboriginal cultures, ancient cultures, knew this. It was part of their everyday life to have performance and visual art every day. And I think that the importance of that can't be stressed enough. I can't articulate it as well as I would like, but I just want to go on record as supporting the Percent for Art and keeping it at 1%. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to have another person from Juneau before we go back to Fairbanks or Anchorage. Ken DeRue.
Chairwoman Hurley, Representative Hanley, and members of the committee. My name is Kenneth DeRue. I'm an artist. I participated in the program as an artist, I should say, and also as a member of two selection committees, and then presently curator of visual arts at the Alaska State Museum, although I'm testifying on my own behalf on my own time. I am in favor of Alaska's Percent for Art law. I believe when this legislation was passed, it was seen as a good thing by many people, and I think it still is. It also seems to be considered a good idea by the people of Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, communities which have public art programs of their own. I'm also in favor of increased public participation in public art programs. I have problems with the current proposed legislation, however, as I feel it does not strengthen or clarify the current law, but rather weakens it, in particular House Bill 606. I don't know what amount of money is spent on public art in any given year, but according to the Alaska State Council of the Arts 1985 Guide to Programs, over $1 million has been spent since 1978. For the last 8 years, that would break down to around $125,000 per year. Half of that is a ballpark figure of $62,500, probably a little more in recent years, but still, is that an amount of money worth changing the law for? And how much good art can you really buy for that kind of money? I'd also like to reemphasize that this is capital money. It's tied to construction funds. So if the state is in a situation where it can't afford public buildings, or very few public buildings, neither will it afford art. If the state can afford those buildings, then why not have the art? I'd like to see some further clarification as from what the gentleman from DOT said as to where this 1% comes from and where the half percent would go. My understanding, having participated in the program, is that these buildings that we make are built to specifications. DOT decides what they want in a building, and then they build it for the lowest bid. The 1% is figured on after the specifications are drawn up, and in addition, there is 10% for cost overruns. Are we just going to be able to be seeing an additional half percent for overruns? Will there actually be additional amenities in those buildings? I think this has been something that's been very unclear in the past, and a lot of people have supposed that by taking out 1% they can add more to the building. I'm not sure that's the case. Also, knowing many artists and having participated in the program, I can tell you that very few, if any, artists in the state make much money from this program. That really shouldn't be the case. An artist is required by DOT to sign a standard contract like any other general contractor. This requires, among other things, liability insurance or bonding, which is often very expensive, even if the artist is only executing a painting. Outdoor pieces and sculptures obviously have more costs involved, including materials and additional labor. And much of this money goes back into the economy, to insurance companies, welders, building supply companies, and so on. I don't think the general public has a grasp of this, and I think another popular misconception is that the 1% money comes out of the building, like I just said. The other aspect of House Bill 606 that I have a problem with is that the artists be resident Alaskans. First of all, 80% of the artists receiving these jobs are already Alaskan artists, according to the State Arts Council. Secondly, it would hamper the free movement of people between states. I might mention that two of Alaska's most well-known artists, Sidney Lawrence and Eustace Ziegler, lived much of their lives outside the state. During much of the latter part of his life, Sidney Lawrence lived and had a studio in Los Angeles, traveling to Alaska only in the summers to gather material. Ziegler lived in Seattle much of the time, and in fact is considered a Seattle artist by people in that city. Yet to us, they are Alaskan artists. Any artist in Alaska today who becomes successful will probably want to further that success by establishing him or herself outside in some manner or form. Artists like this, for instance, James Schoeppert and Alvin Amundsen are two current examples. I think we should still want to encourage to participate in Alaskan art programs. The state shouldn't be a closed shop where culture is concerned. I don't think the people of Alaska would benefit from this change in the law. With regard to House Bill 607, I don't understand how a superintendent should be in charge solely in choosing an artist. That's not clear to me. And with regard to the public participation part of that bill, I think there should be a lot of questions asked about how that would work. The percent for art program is already stretched very thin administratively, and the relationship between DOT and the Alaska State Council on the Arts remains unclear in a lot of areas. Who would administer this lottery? I think the Alaska State Council on the Arts already provides very well-balanced committees for these decisions. The need is not to change the makeup of the committee, but to better inform the public. I don't see that changing the committee will satisfy that need. I also doubt if hearings will adequately address this need. I'm sure you're all familiar with public apathy when it comes to hearings that are not already dealing with burning community issues. What this change would do, I think, is open up the door, or could open up the door, to attempts to stack the committee by stacking the lottery box or whatever process is involved, either by artists who are trying to get permission or by the arts community, whoever. It's something to be looked at. Public input is a very problematical area because we're dealing in matters of taste, education, and human egos when it gets down to it. I don't know the answer to this problem, and I doubt that it is one that can be easily dealt with by legislation. It's going to be impossible to legislate artistic content in any way, directly or indirectly. A great deal of discussion has been generated by this issue in the past. Much has been said about the goodness and badness of art, and a lot of it in this room. I hope that the committee and the legislature will take the time to talk to the Alaska State Council on the Arts and review previous public testimony dealing with the Present for Art bill before taking any action on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeRue. I'd like to go to Homer, where there's people who've been waiting quite a while.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Michael Mead, and I have several things. The first one is that I would definitely like to see, coming from a so-called rural area here in Homer, I'd very much like to see a 1% program versus 0.5%. Also, I would like to see on the a little bit more research given to both of these 606 and 607. Seems like there's a lot of good comment out there today, and it's added a lot of new thought. Secondly, as was said earlier by a person from Homer, we have a brand new high school here, and right now I'm in the process of trying to find out why we don't have 1% for the arts here. It was told to me that somebody made a ruling on it that for some reason or another, the borough said that we could not have 1% for the high school, and it's a state-funded project. So,
are you there, or are you finished?
Sorry, I'm a little confused here, but at this point, thank you very much.
Thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I thought maybe we'd gotten disconnected. Polly Lee is waiting and ready to testify now. Petersburg.
Yes, thank you. Polly Lee from Petersburg, and I have just some rather quick comments about the things that have been said and the proposals. The selection process I believe, is a good one. A great deal of thought and discussion went into the development of that selection process as it now stands. And as with all things, it may need a little fine-tuning as time has gone on and a little improvement, but I don't think it needs to have a radical change, and I certainly oppose the proposed changes in the selection process. As far as the percent for public art being reduced, I think quite the opposite, that it ought to be raised. The art that we have in our Alaskan buildings is such a very, very important thing, geographically and climate-wise, and in so many ways, we have some limitations, and I have thought that in a way that we're sort of the end of the line in Alaska, although in many ways being the end of the line is not a bad thing. But when it comes to the amenities and humanizing influences of life that many cities have really adopted and gone in for, particularly in the older parts of our country, and now on the West Coast, we see that happening very strongly in San Francisco and Seattle in many communities, and state laws support that and inspire that, and I would just really feel we'd be stepping backward to reduce our percent for art. And I speak here as an artist who has participated in the percent for art, as well as on the selection committee, but most strongly, I believe, as from a citizen's point of view. Another point that I'd like to mention is that the restricting the artists who participate in the percent for art in Alaska to only Alaskan artists would be, I think, unfair. Basically, unfair to the Alaska people, because I think that the Alaska people deserve to have the very best. And if our Alaskan artists can deliver that, then of course that's great. But if another outside artist proposes something that is really the best for a certain site in a certain space, then the Alaskan people should have that, the very best. And I have, as it's been rather gratifying to me to hear the many professional artists around the state say that they are not at all worried about intimidated by artists' proposals from outside, because they too want the very best in Alaska, and it's a wonderful thing when Alaskan artists are chosen. But it's also wonderful that they're not afraid of competition. And I think that it broadens our scope greatly when we have artists from other places included, and certainly it includes enables Alaskan artists to be able to participate elsewhere, and that would be an unfair limitation on Alaskan artists, and definitely might be a retaliatory move by other states if that were done in Alaska. Anyway, I think that's what I have to say, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Polly. I don't think you mentioned in the beginning that you are an Alaskan and have been here, an Alaskan artist who's been here some time and have several of your pieces hanging in buildings around the state, right?
Yes, thank you for the plug.
In fact, one of your pieces is on loan right here on the wall. Thank you, Polly. I'd like to go back to Fairbanks, where we have several people waiting.
Yes, thank you. My name is Charlotte Van Zandt. I've been associated with the state's 1% for Art program since 1979, when I was commissioned to weave a large tapestry for the Fairbanks International Airport. I'd like to comment that I have been impressed with the large variety of viewpoints and the attempt at balanced judgment by the participants on selection committee. The individuals directly involved with a particular building, including planners, occupants, and community representatives, have made up these committees, and an Arts Council staff member has served only to advise and inform that committee, but not make the selection. The final selections may not always have 100% of the vote, but the members usually agree the selections are the best from the artwork that was submitted to them. The current crisis of the dwindling oil revenues are influencing the arts community in a number of ways. As oil revenues decrease and capital building decreases, the 1% for art will naturally decline. I don't see a need to cut it by 0.5% at this point. The Capitol building projects have actually represented employment for artists. Many of them are self-employed. They're ineligible for unemployment benefits. To restrict the program to Alaskans only, I can certainly see both sides. Obviously, I'm one person who's affected by outside artists who may be bidding on the same commission. However, art is not demarcated by state or national boundaries. Its limitations are only those that we impose. Admiring our own reflection blinds us to other original viewpoints that may enrich our lives. I'd like to add, an artist is a laborer, much like another worker, who needs a salary to support their basic living expenses, housing, food, clothing, education of their children. It's not frivolous money that you're giving these artists for doing this commission work. I personally support a local hardware store, gas station, landlord, utility companies, babysitters, insurance companies. On my last commission, up to 2/3 of my total commission work went back into the community for my own expenses on that piece. Very little is actually reflected as pocket salary. To accuse artists of simply buttering their own bread on these, testifying for this program, I think ignores the fact that we're very interested in having outside artists bring their work to this state and help us learn their viewpoints as well. If an artist is from outside, I'd like to comment as much as 1/3 of the total cost of their commission work may be remaining in the state for fabrication of their piece, transportation of that piece, installation of the piece. There is one piece in Fairbanks that is controversial at the moment at the university. Students have spoken on this. Over $50,000 on that particular piece was spent in Fairbanks on the fabrication alone. That's no small amount to remain in the community, even though that was an outside artist. Competition for commissions are a challenge for artists to do their very best work. Public interest in the selection process is important, but it's also a challenge to the individual critic to become informed and make thoughtful decisions about the role of art in our lives. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Van Zandt. There's some other people in Fairbanks on the list. Are they? Is someone still waiting?
I am. This is Jim Belke. I'm a Fairbanks painter. I support 1% for art for the most part as it exists. I believe that we need some changes in this program, a bit of fine-tuning, so that it can better suit the needs of the public. I appreciate the efforts of Representative Hanley and others proposing legislation which would keep public art alive in these difficult financial times. However, I cannot support this legislation because I do not believe that it would bring about the changes which we need in public art. I agree with Stan Zielinski, Bill Ray Jr., Ken DeRue, and others who think it is not a good idea to require that all 1% art be commissioned by two Alaskan artists. Frequently, only specialized art can best meet the unique needs of some public building users. For example, recently, an art selection committee for police headquarters in Anchorage selected an outside artist who had received a master's degree studying art which had soothing effects in tense situations, and this person's work fit the needs of the police headquarters particularly well. To make art commissions more accessible to Alaskan artists, more small-scale art could be installed in or outside of public buildings. Most Alaskan artists, whether they be sculptors, photographers, painters, metalsmiths, ceramic artists, fiber artists, or others, execute work on a small scale and do not have experience producing large-scale art at prices of $50,000 or more, which are frequently required. If more small-scale pieces were selected, the 1% program might receive more public support. The probability of someone liking at least some of the art in a building would be greater if there were more than one or two works to view. We are all facing the fact that less money will be available from the state in the future. The dollars for 1% for art will automatically be cut if capital projects are also cut. This is only a guess, but I imagine that we will be spending much less money on capital projects in the near future than we have spent in the recent past. The legislature voted to establish a 1% for art program in the mid-70s. before any oil began to flow through the pipeline, before we were receiving billions of dollars from oil revenues, and at a time when much of the state revenue was generated from personal income taxes. We also had a budget that was quite a bit less than $1 billion. If we could afford art in public places, then we can afford it now. I believe that the program needs internal changes to make it better suit public opinion. More numerous and smaller scale works would give us more diversity and give Alaskan artists opportunities to compete on an equal basis with other artists for commissions. Many of us live in Alaska because we can express ourselves as individuals and we respect other individuals' self-expression. This is a major reason why Art for Alaskan Public Buildings was first funded by Alaskans, and this is why we Alaskans should continue to support it today. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Belke. How many people are left in Fairbanks? Could you tell me, operator?
Yes, we have one final person. Our other people had to go.
All right. Would you let that person speak now?
Hello, my name is Barbara Santora. I'm a graphic artist in Fairbanks. In reference to House Bill 606, the Section 2 that would restrict selection to Alaska residents, like many other people, I feel that would be very detrimental to the type of work and both to the selection process, and that we as Alaskans do welcome the competition of other artists from other states and countries. Reducing the percent from 1 to 0.5% is also a very poor approach to reducing spending costs. I think that the comparison with 300 feet of roadway was very illustrative. In House Bill 607, in reference to the plaque to be installed with the pieces of artwork, I think it's very important that it includes the name of the artist. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we still have another person in Ketchikan?
This is Julian Junovelli and Bonnie in Ketchikan. Do you have a participant there who wishes to testify?
This is Bonnie in Ketchikan, and we have no more participants.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you. We have someone in Anchorage.
This is Betty Cuddy, and I am speaking as a very practical person from the community and I'd like to support Representative Hanley's bill. Knowing that I was going to probably be speaking to these programs this afternoon, I did speak to quite a few people trying to get some opinions from them how they felt about this bill. And most of them seem to feel that what we are having as our selection now are not pleasing them, and we are seeing quite a collection of sculptures around on our street corners and on our streets that does not contribute to the history of Alaska or any explanation or any reason for it being there other than it was someone's selection. They thought it might be a good idea if we at least put down to 0.5% until the program can be under better control and we can get some selections that all of us might feel tie in with our Alaskan heritage better. Okay?
Thank you very much, Betty. Is there someone still waiting in Homer?
Yes.
Go ahead, Homer.
My name is Patty Yancey. I'm the director of the Arts Council, and I would like for the 1% fund to remain 1%, and I would like that to be extended to the rural communities as well. A lot of rural projects, I feel, cost more to produce due to transportation, shipping costs, that sort of thing. I think that should be taken into consideration. I also believe that in the future, the whole program should possibly be researched a little more to move towards the concept of public places as art rather than art in public places. I think that a lot of residents might be concerned and upset by certain choices because the whole picture is not looked at. And I believe if the artist is on hand, at some of the beginnings of these of the concepts of these buildings being built, that perhaps a more integrated the art could be integrated into the structure, and the architects and artists could work together. I think that would help quite a bit. Also, I would like to address the committee process. I don't believe that a lottery is a good system to choose those volunteers that will be the lay members of the committee. I think those volunteers could possibly be solicited, could fill out an application, say why they are interested in serving on the committee, and then have those volunteers screened by possibly arts managers, some museum personnel, some art teachers, or practicing artists in the community. And perhaps they could come up with a list of finalists that then possibly could be chosen by a random selection process. The next item I'd like to talk about is the limiting the selection process to Alaskans only. I don't wish that to happen. I feel that we broaden our own cultural experience by including artists from wherever and wherever they may be from. I think those residents that do not travel frequently outside will have the benefit of experiencing what is going on outside of the state just by this Percent for Art program. Thank you very much.
Thank you. According to my list, I have just one person left in Anchorage to testify. So while that person in Anchorage is testifying, will you please, any of the rest of you left on the network, we do have several people left in Juneau, but we can go over to hear them, but I wanted to be sure that we hear everyone on the network. So would the person left in Anchorage, and if there's anyone else left, would you let us know?
He's now ready to testify, and that's the last person in Anchorage at this time.
This is John Blaine, and I would like to speak to the three points that are addressed in the bills. I would hope, as many people have expressed, that the percent for art is left at the full percent. It's been said before, but it certainly is true that capital projects are going to go way down, and if 1% is lessened to 0.5%, that will mean an even lesser amount than is predictable now for artworks in Alaska. Secondly, the idea that has been expressed in the bill that relates to Alaska residents only would exclude so many Alaskan artists who are living outside of Alaska now, as one point. Another point is that the many artists that I've talked with, almost 100% of the artists that I've talked with anyway, and I have talked with more than 15 or 20 artists, believe that they need to compete in an arena that is as wide as possible. That to exclude artists on the basis of their residency is unnatural and is not something that would please them. It does open up a window that otherwise would be unopened. It was expressed, I think, in an apocryphal kind of way, but a way that makes good sense. If we are to limit the artists who may participate in the Percent for Art program commission here in Alaska to Alaska residents, does it follow that we would only have books by Alaska authors or watch television programs that are produced and created by Alaskans, or in any other way limit ourselves to
books by Alaska,
made in Alaska, for Alaska, by Alaska? The idea, the concept of making commission art through the commission process only available to Alaskan artists was likened to visual book burning. Finally, I really feel like we should review our brief history of having works of art in public places. Alaska is ancient in so many ways, and brand spanking new in so many other ways. The public art that we have on view, whether it was paid for by a tax dollar or an individual individual's gift or by a corporation's largesse is almost all brand new, created in the last 10 years. Much of it within the last very few years. And art needs to have a chance to become part of the personality and part of the folklore, part of the living reality of our neighborhoods and of our cities and of our towns. And it doesn't do that overnight. I'm very much in favor of a review of works of art that are publicly funded, but I think it should come after a decade. And I think that each decade, it's right and proper for there to be some kind of reasonable and responsible review of works of art in public places paid for by public funds. And if they don't meet the criteria that are set through some reasonable public process, then they should be removed. They should be placed in some other context if they do not, after a decade, meet some test of acceptance. But, goodness, let's give ourselves some time. Let's look at things over a longer view than we appear to be looking at them right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Jane?
Madam Chairman, could I just ask one question?
Yes. Representative Hanley would like to ask a question.
I had a question, Mr. Blaine. Are you with the Visual Arts Center there?
Yes. My job is the Executive Director of the Visual Arts Center here in Anchorage. Right.
Thank you very much.
Here in Juneau, if there's no one else out on the teleconference network, I'd like to take the next person on the list, Jane Terzis.
Thank you. I'm Jane Terzis, and I'm the president of the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, but I'm here today speaking for myself as a visual artist, since I'm both professionally and personally affected by these bills. Both bills are perceived by me as a hostile act toward visual artists in Alaska, and as apparently they're not directed at saving substantial amounts of money, they seem to be directed at diminishing an art program. I would speak in favor of at least keeping this project at 1% for art. I don't think that that's enough money as it is. It's not a lot of money. It's been said before today, and I'll repeat it, that we're heading into some dark times in Alaska, and we need more art during those times, not less art. As far as the Alaska residents only, I disagree with that. I do welcome the competition of other artists across the country, internationally if possible. A statistic, 10% of the submissions for the Alaskan Percent for Art program are submitted by Alaskans. 80% of the awards are to Alaskans. So you can see that we are pretty definitely and pretty heavily favored already. For House Bill 607, I approve of the selection committee being comprised of the architect, the project manager or designee, the an ASCA designee, a user of the building. I think that's very important, and three lay members. I do not want those lay members to be selected by lottery, however. I think that they should be experts. As far as good art and bad art goes, and this brings up another point, is that the public hearing to receive an opinion about potential art projects, I'm unclear on. I don't understand that. I don't understand if that is before the selection or after the selection is made and what that really consists of. If it is to be after a selection is made, I cannot imagine having a design up to public input for whoever wants to come in and decide against or for a piece of artwork. I think that we would go on forever with that, and what we would end up with would be the lowest common denominator, some kind of artwork that nobody takes exception to. the plaque with the committee names is a good idea. I mean, I'm sorry, the plaque with the artist names is a good idea, and explaining that it is a Percent for Art project. I wonder why the committee names need to be on that plaque. I don't like that. It feels hostile to me. Thank you.
Manager, I'd like to ask a question if I may.
Yes, go right ahead. Representative Boucher.
I'm really impressed, first of all, by the broad range of testimony, and it's certainly Alaskan artists are having an effect on my thinking. In fact, I think art is a lot of things. We are engaged in an art here, and we talk about the visual art, that the building is art. But one question you did, now we're talking about art that's paid for by the public. How should the public, should the art satisfy the artist? Or should the art satisfy the public? And if we don't have a method of determining it, should we have a method of determining it? Should, you know, for example, Nimbus out here. Now, maybe if you were to take a poll of the entire community, maybe everybody thought Nimbus was fine. I've seen this before, you know, this happened in Fairbanks. Somebody, there wasn't an old sourdough up there. They put up a pipe or something like that. It seems to stir emotion. I go to art in public places paid for by the collective community's tax dollars. How do we judge it, or should we judge it, and who is it there for? And I'm asking you as a question, I don't have the answer.
Boy, if this is my chance to talk about Memphis, I'm really excited.
Well, go ahead, go ahead. It's your chance to talk about anything.
Well, I moved to Alaska in 1979, so Nimbus was already in place when I got here. I think that Nimbus was a really unfortunate project from the very beginning, and I don't know who was on the committee, and I don't know what was presented to them in terms of a rough sketch or a mock-up or a model of it. I didn't like the way it looked personally, and professionally, I think that it was put together very badly. I think it was bad craftsmanship. I think that's unfortunate. I think what should have happened was that the committee should have recognized that and they should have rejected it. Unfortunately, they didn't, and years later, we were faced with removing it. I don't know how I feel about that, and I don't have an answer to the removal of a Percent for Art project. I do, however, as an artist, I am familiar with all the Percent for Art projects that are in Juneau right now, and while I don't personally like all of them, as a professional and as an expert in the field, I can tell you that they are, each one of them, very well crafted and very, very definitely works of art. As far as how do we go about pleasing the public, we'll never be able to please everybody with a piece of art. And what we have with the committee are representatives, and we have to hope that they are our representatives, as we have to hope that you are our representatives here, because we've chosen you for that.
Can I make a point?
Yes, and Representative Hanley.
Yeah, I just want to clarify one thing. Nimbus was not a Percent of Art piece of art. I wrote the piece of art legislation that's on the books right now, and it took three different legislatures for it to finally pass. And it finally did, and Nimbus came along a little bit later, and it's been causing the bill a problem ever since. But I just hasten to repeat again, because every time we have one of these meetings, I have to say it, Nimbus was not, that's negative, a Percent of Art thing, although Percent of Art always ends up getting blamed for Nimbus.
Representative,
I just have a couple statements, Jane. Just agreeing with Representative Boucher that I think the public is the ultimate consumer, and I have experienced some hostility in Anchorage at some pieces which are 1%, and one of those is a black shoeshine stand. It was also indicated to me that did not turn out the way it was supposed to. It was supposed to be functional art. Most people, fortunately or unfortunately, don't even recognize that it's any different from the shoeshine stand that was always there. But it is a 1% for art, and it did cost $27,000. One of the things you mentioned was 80% of the awards to Alaskans, which I think is good, but one of the things that we noticed in the arts report was that the total, 83, 84, 85, monies that went for 1% projects was over $2 million. Of that amount, more than 50% of the amount went outside to artists outside the state. Now, if you look at the projects, maybe more projects went to inside artists, But the big piece is the $70,000 metal sculpture that's anchored to Crossroads of the World. The red aluminum sculpture was done by a Florida artist. And it seems like the big, the very expensive pieces are going outside. So I'm not disputing that maybe 80% of the awards are to Alaskans, but the money, more than 50% of the money in those 3 years of that $2 million, more than 50% of that went to artists outside the state. So I think that's something that we've become kind of sensitive to, and we have done quite a bit of research and looking at projects throughout the state.
May I say one more thing about something that you brought up, talking about good art and bad art? And I haven't seen the shoeshine kit, and I haven't seen the red aluminum piece. But art, traditionally and historically, is in advance of public opinion. By that I mean that we need to educate ourselves to appreciate fine art. It hits us and we don't like it because it's new, and we don't like new things. In 15 years, it's very possible that the shoeshine kit will be very exciting to the general public, maybe not. I know that when Renoir and Matisse and Picasso were starting out, they were not popular, thank God. They were not popular artists. They're popular now. So that's the way art is.
Thank you very much. We will go off the network because of our time is up, but we do have a few more witnesses here who I would like to hear from today. So with this, thank all of you out there for tuning in, and that will end the teleconference from outside of Juneau.
One quick question. This is Stan Zielinski in Fairbanks. Could you give us a number of how many people have testified today total?
Madam Chair, I have 430 meetings.
Okay. I haven't been counting so far. I can check in just a minute. Do you? We've had 24 so far. That's a rough count, and we have one, two, four more people right here to testify. We have had some messages come in too via POMs and telephone calls, but those people who have, 24 people have actually been online today. Thank you, Mr. Zielinski.
Yes, thank you very much. We're trying to keep a rough count on it, and it seems about 85% of the folks were against the bill. We just wanted to have some number to take back to our people. Thank you.
Thank you, and we will go off the network now. Nina Berry.
This concludes the teleconference portion of the session of the State Affairs Committee. Please send the final stats to TCJ. Thank you.
Oh, I guess you don't need to know because I guess we're off the network. Okay.
Mm-hmm. My name is Nina Berry. I'm the Projects Coordinator for the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and I am representing the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. The Council is concerned over the adoption of these two bills. Adoption of House Bill 606 would decrease 1% now available for public art to 0.5%. The Art in Public Places program makes art accessible to Alaskans and visitors every day. It also provides employment for artists and improves the aesthetic quality of public facilities and life in Alaska. We strongly advocate keeping the current legislation for the program at a 4%. Adoption of House Bill 607 would limit the selection of public art solely to Alaskan artists. We are supportive of Alaskan preference. However, due to Alaska's geographic isolation, it is stimulating and essential to have exposure to art from outside. It provides enlightenment of present social conditions throughout America as reflected through current art. This bill would also allow three members of the selection committee to be chosen by lottery from the public. While we welcome public input, the proposed lottery system would prove to be expensive when budgets are currently being cut. During these times of cutbacks, resulting in tension and low spirits, art is especially important. People need that outlet in which to temporarily forget their troubles, whether it be through watching or participating in music, theater, dance, film, painting, or just viewing a piece of public art. Thank you for this opportunity to voice our opinion.
Thank you, Ms. Berry. Steve Smith.
Hello.
I'd like
like to, I have an art gallery. I've been involved in art business for about 10 years. And the side to the whole situation that most people don't see is how much do artists make a year as part of the labor force. And we all take a look at the giants that are well sold in the major galleries, but there's only about three or four of them in the state, and they may maybe make $100,000, $200,000 a year, maybe, is the very top of the line. If you take them out and average what artists make who are working as artists, which are very, 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 very few in the state. Most people work a job and try to squeeze some time in. I would say they make maybe $7,000 to $20,000 a year. We're talking about people who are in the poverty range already. Okay, we're also talking about 0.5% for an art project, which is what we have in the bush. Somebody earlier had testified concerning the fact that things are more expensive to produce in the bush. So not only are you cutting the amount that goes into the building by 0.5%, but the cost of putting that in is already maybe double what it would be if it were an Anchorage or a major urban area. So you're getting 1/4 of what the urban areas are getting in the rural areas. Also, the need for art in these buildings is the same in a rural area as it is in an urban area. You have a certain size building, there are certain areas that need to be decorated. In the private sector, when buildings are built, there's a certain percentage that's put in.